wants to open up the line to say amen or whatever they can, feel free to do that. It doesn't distract me. We're going to be turning to the book of Corinthians.
Recording in progress.
1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting at verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting at verse 1. The title of this message, It's Time to Weep. It's time to weep. 1 Corinthians what? We're going to begin reading in verse 1. It says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual, but as carnal, even as babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. With milk and not with meat, for hitherto to you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man?" Now, what he's referring to is God has given every man someone in their life in order to bring them to salvation or explain to them the plan of salvation so they can be saved. So everyone has someone that they've connected with, and some perhaps have had just an encounter with God to bring them to God. But what I'm going to focus on mainly right now is this. In verse 6, it says, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." And I want to veer off here for a moment. I want to talk about how that when you plant, when I say plant, I'm referring to, let's say that God gives you a word for someone. You've planted and you're sharing something with them about the gospel, or you're sharing a testimony. That's planting. I want you to let it be very clear in your mind, because God uses many things to allow us to plant or to pour into people's lives. Maybe that's a better terminology to say we're pouring into someone. God does something on us, or he moves upon our heart in order to minister to someone else. And when we willingly yield ourselves to his Spirit, we are planting the word of God, the love of God, a testimony. And it's interesting today, various times throughout the day, I kept thinking about things I used to do when I first came to God. And I could be reading a book, for instance. This is just an example. I could be reading a book, and literally God would show me an image or a vision of a person, an individual. And I would stop reading that book. I need to tell my wife or say, you know what? I really feel that God wants me to give this book to this person. And there was times when she was a little like, you haven't finished reading yet. But I knew what I was feeling, and I was very confident in what I was feeling, that that person was to receive that book. If I needed it, I would get it back. But what I'm trying to explain to you is that there are going to be various things that you do that God is using that to plant something in someone's life. And it could be giving money. It can be giving a gift. And what I'm trying to open, I want to expand your minds tonight in thinking about, how can I plant? I mean, it's not just a word given. It's not just giving someone a track to a Bible study. It's not just, don't limit how God plants. It can just simply be your kindness that you show towards somebody. It's planting something in their heart. I was on the bus today riding home, and I witnessed this, and I was just so amazed by it. There's a woman that was sitting on the side of the bus, inside, of course. We were both like across from each other, and she had sunglasses on, and it wasn't that bright. And I was just very curious about the sunglasses, why she was wearing sunglasses. That being said, I'm sitting there and looking around and just looking, you know, enjoying the ride, because it was a little peaceful at that point. So this woman gets up and she looks at this woman that has sunglasses on. She says, "Oh, I love those sunglasses." And I just looked up at her, and I was just wondering where the conversation was going to go. And she says, "Do you really like them that much?" And she said, "Yes." He says, "I want to give them to you. You can have them." And the woman that received the glasses was like a little kid. She was jumping up and down. She said, "Can I give you a hug?" And she hugged her. And there was like over some sunglasses. And the woman said, "Are you sure? Are you really giving these to me?" She said, "Yes, I'm giving these to you, because I have another pair and I don't need it." And they're just like the ones I have on right now. And I thought she was just saying that, but literally, she literally looked in her purse, pulled out another pair. It was just like the one she had on. And she said, by the way, someone gave these to me, and I just received them because I maybe perhaps it's just for you. And this woman was so happy. They were hugging each other, and it's just over a pair of glasses. What I'm saying is that there are so many things that we can do as believers in giving for that other people may praise God just for even knowing us or encountering us. See, somebody, when people walk away from you, they should say, you know, I'm glad I met that person. I'm glad I had that conversation. I'm glad that I just for a few moments I rode on the bus with those people. I got a there was a demonstration of someone just showing kindness for no apparent reason. They had not known each other. They had not seen each other previously. And that woman got off that bus, and she was just, it just blessed her day. And so what I'm saying to you, consider what you do. I mean, sometimes, and this is another thing that's happened to me, I'm sure it's happened to many of you, if you could be writing a letter to someone, or God's been impressing you to do something, and you think, well, it's not that important, it's just a letter, or it's just a note, it's just a thank you card, but you never know. You see, when you have the Holy Ghost, God can take the smallest thing and make it greater. So you can say, well, I'm going to write a letter or a note to somebody, but then God will start to inspire you to say something or to minister to that person that you're sending that note or something to. And all of a sudden you start saying, well, you know, I really felt led of the Holy Ghost to write this to you or to send you this money or to do this thing for you. Or, you know, there's various things that the Holy Ghost is just wanting the liberty to move amongst his people in a way that he knows that if he tells you to give, you'll give. If he tells you to weep, he doesn't have to tell you. You're going to feel something in your spirit. It says to rejoice with those that rejoice, but it also says to weep with them that weep. And I love hearing the body, the church people becoming concerned about not just, how can I say it, not just their own lives anymore, but it said, like, my harvest, the people's lives that God has blessed me with to be able to touch them. Just someone, a stranger, or being in places where it's uncomfortable, yet I'm willing to be there so that I might be able to help to someone else. It's not always fun and games. It's not always pleasant, but sometimes you're there, or God has planted you someplace. Now, see, it's not that just when the Bible says one plants and one waters, we're not the only ones that plant. God also will plant you in a place. And that's why we encourage each other to pray about what we're doing and where we're at and certain seasons and times in our lives, because God perhaps would have planted you there for a specific reason, for his will and not yours. It may be something that you're like, oh, I don't want to be here, because I have said that many times. I've had jobs that were very hard, but then God allowed me to meet someone there, and I said, wow, God, if I had left then, if I had got that promotion, if I had been elevated too soon, I would have missed this person. And I'm just being honest. That's not how I think. That's how I know it's the Holy Ghost. I would have rather gotten the promotion. I would have rather had the increase, not of responsibility, but necessarily the increase of a new position. I would have gone from that place and not looked back. But God had a different plan. So when I went through an interview and I was not accepted for the job, or the company did not call me back, I just waited. And when you wait upon God, he has a plan in motion. And sometimes we don't really know how to seek him and in order to find that out. We just got to trust God. God knows what I have need of before I even ask. So when I put my petition before God, I've got to wait on for what he's going to do. Because everything, the Bible says, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. You have to think of yourself. Some people, like, people don't like to say I'm a good person, but I'm not trying to do evil. you've got to own some of this. You've got to say that, yes, God is in my life, and he is the author and the finisher of my faith. And if waiting on God increases my faith, it was worth the wait. If God has a plan, and I believe he has a plan for me, and his word says he has a plan for me, at some point in my walk with God, I have to begin to believe that, and that everything in my life is ordered by God. Because the Bible says that no one teaches like God. And in everything, he's teaching us something. In everything, he's helping us in this walk, because he said, yeah, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that means that every trial I go through, every test I go through, every failure that I might experience, every victory I might experience, God is there. Because he will never leave you nor forsake you. Sometimes you don't hear God's voice, and it's only because sometimes while he's trying to watch how you're going to process this situation, what are you going to do? Are you going to trust in yourself? Or you give that, or that window of time, you can either trust up or you can trust in God. And sometimes we don't even know what to do in certain situations. And that's why some of us have learned to call people up and say, hey, you know what? I'm struggling with this. Will you pray for me? And that's not a weakness. That's just knowing where you have a body of people around you. And it would be a shame to waste them. I'm not just I'm not just talking to adults. I'm talking to young people as well. You have a body of people around you. You have parents and people, adults in your life, where you can say, you know what? It's okay to come to a place where you say, I am struggling and in this situation, and I just need you to pray for me. It's not that I'm going to tell you what to pray, but I'm going to simply say, I'm going to allow God to use you to minister to me. And if you go in prayer and you hear something that God has to say to me, don't be afraid to take that time out and come and say, hey, brother, or hey, sister, this is what God spoke to me when I pray for you. And that's just it. And I cannot tell you how invaluable it is when someone cares enough to pray, when someone cares enough to take you before the throne of God, when someone cares enough. And that's what it's going to take, because that's why I entitled this message, it's time to weep. Because see, I planted seeds, but sometimes I plant and I walk away. But the Lord has put on my heart that said, write down those names of those people that you've been talking to and that you have ministered to in the Holy Ghost, or I have revealed something to you about their lives, and you thought your work was finished right there. But now it's time to go back and to begin to pray and begin to weep over their souls. Because when you water something, he cut off a whole shakala Messiah. You need to know that your watering is done with your tears. When you start caring enough to weep over someone's soul. And just think about it. You don't know how far God has brought them from to a place where they can hear your voice. He's probably had them go through some trials. He's had them go through some tests. He's had them go through some things in their lives. And he allows you, a believer, to come across their path and to meet them. And in that very given moment, in their heart, they're crying out to God. And then you're there. You're the one that step into that role and says, you know what? I don't know everything about God, but I know he's faithful. I know that he's good. I know that he's not willing to any should perish. Whatever you have to give, you give it in that moment, and then you let it go to the extent, and this is what I'm going to be very clear about, until God brings it back to your mind and brings it back to your heart. And he says, weep. It's time to weep over what you've already planted. It's time to pray. And it's time to get a hold of God on their behalf. Because if you don't really care, you won't weep. You know, I can't even imagine what it was like or what my life would have been like. I would have just been lost had someone not wept over me. And I've experienced hardship. But see, the weeping, that word weep means to mourn. And see, we don't say, well, that sounds like that's sad, Brother Murray. I'm not saying that kind of mourning where you're sad, but I'm talking about that mourning if they don't ever come to God. You have to care about people to the extent, it's like, if they don't hear you, they literally could be lost. If they don't hear you and their life changes or turns around, they could be lost. And I'm not saying, you never know if you're going to be the last person that they run across or come in contact with. You don't know. And because you don't know, you should treat every soul as though they're precious. You should treat every soul as though that God died for not just the saint in the church, the one who believed him. Because my Bible tells me, and your Bible says to you as well, that he left the 99 and went after the one. We have to be the same way in our minds. It's like there are more lost people than there are saved. And it really does show your heart. If you haven't made that transformation in your life, and I've gone through that, brothers and sisters, I really have. There was a time I was running to the bus stop, and there was a woman in a wheelchair, and this sounds coarse, but I'll just say it as it is, just black and white. I was running to the bus stop. I was in a hurry, trying to get to work. As I was running, I ran past this woman that was sitting in the wheelchair, and she said, "Sir, can I talk to you for a minute?" And I said, "I'm so sorry. This is my bus. I have to go." And this, what she said, I never forgot. She said, "You're just like everyone else." I got on the bus and I rode down the bus with this guilt and a feeling of this sadness. But then it was something that God used, and he kiyad aboho shakala Messiah. You have to understand that God uses your successes as well as your failures. When you feel like you have not met the requirement that God is just asking you to have of compassion for someone, he'll use that. To this day, he still uses that to stir me up, to get me to take time for people. Take time to listen. Take time to pray for. Take time to be concerned. Take time, because that's what you have to give people, is you and your time and your efforts. Because when you show that you care, you're planting a seed, because there are so many people in the world that don't care, that could care less about them and where they're going and where they'll spend eternity. The church has to be what it's meant to be. It says, already it says, that they will know you by the love you have one for another. But that love has to go beyond our four walls. It has to go beyond our church, because we spend more time on our job than we do in church. We spend more time in relationships outside the church most times than we do in the church. All these relationships are important, but you'll see a significant change not only in your life, but in their lives when you begin to weep over your harvest. Watering it with tears, watering it and really and allowing not just your family, but people to really understand that this is real. This is where we'll spend eternity. This is something. And when you see someone struggling and you decide to pray for them, you are planting. And see, the thing about it is, what you're doing may not be seen by the person who's doing it. I mean, by the person who's receiving it. But you know what you've done, and God knows what you've done. And that's where you get your reward. Not that you're looking for a reward. And it says, "I, brethren, would not speak to you as spiritual." What this is conveying to me as I read it is that God expects us to mature in our relationships. And in order to mature in your relationships, you have to care about more than just yourself. You have to go beyond your own borders, beyond your own need. It says, as believers, we're to have put our, how can I, how, I'm talking to the scripture, it just went from my mind. Our concerns or our desires should be to look upon others more so than in our own needs. It's a blessing when you feel like, "I have enough to help someone else. I have enough to give to someone else. I have enough to pray. I have enough time to pray for someone else." But then we look, as we continue down the scripture, it says, "For ye are yet carnal." If you're thinking your life is revolved only around you, you are carnally minded. You're not spiritually minded, because when I think of spiritual mindedness, you think about this. The Bible talks about Christ. He's one who laid down his life for others. When you think about being spiritually mature, you lay down your life for others. You do that which is inconvenient. You suffer some things. You spend a little more time. You push away from the plate. There's various things that we do to show our love, to show compassion, to show our desire to see someone saved or delivered. And when we start showing that we care, God just does a work in our lives so that we understand that this is a real walk of God. We are going to spend eternity somewhere. And I want us to know that we've given our best to someone, not just for ourselves, but to someone. And let's push aside the rewards. We're not looking for rewards. We're just looking for a life that's fulfilled. And our lives, if you don't ever get to that place where you live not just for yourself, but for those whose lives you can have an effect on. My God. Sunday school teachers, you don't know what it's like. I can't even imagine. I hear this so often. I remember testimonies of my children having Sunday school teachers, and then them saying the impact. They would come home excited about God and the things of God. And I was like, wow. I didn't realize the influence or the power, how powerful influence is. And there are people in your life that you have influence on and in their lives. You do. I go to work every day and there's some people that receive me and some that reject me. And that's okay. I don't have any problem with that whatsoever. But those that I do have an impact on, I want it to be something that's good. It's something that's worthwhile. I want to go back to verse 6. It says, I have planted. When I say that, there are things in our in our walks with God that we have to, what's the word I want to use? That we have to acknowledge. Those who have taught Bible studies, those who have been given words of encouragement to people, those that have taught or witnessed to people, you have to say, I've done that, but I want you to keep that in mind. I've done it, but ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave us to every man. He has given each of us the ability to minister to others. He says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. The thing that I got out of order with the other day in my heart was this. I remember speaking to a young man on my job. And then before I really knew him, I began to see his behavior, or I began to see things him that, like, ooh, man, God, Lord, God, really? It was things that disturbed me. But the Lord had to show me that he says, I know him. You don't. That's the thing you have to understand. It's not you. It's God in you. And he sees that person's future. And the word that he gives you is not for you to judge, to find fault with, to criticize. It's for them. It's for them. And it's not for you to glory in it either. And you can be grateful because the Bible later on in the same scripture says that we are laborers together with him. Let that be enough. And you can rejoice when you see them get baptized. You can rejoice when they get filled with the Holy Ghost. You can rejoice when they have a life that says, I used to be this, but now I'm this. Because someone took out the time. You can rejoice in those things, but you also have to have the balance and realize you planted, but you don't make it grow. You planted, and you can't determine anything about what happens to it after that. It's literally out of your hands. When you take a natural seed in the earth and you plant it, you dig a little hole and you plant that seed in the earth. And then the only thing that you can actually do is cover it with that earth, the soil, and then you can water it. And what I'm saying to you, church, it's time to weep. And that's our way of watering. If you've had a prayer and he's like, man, it seems like God is not answering his prayer. Maybe you haven't wept over it. Maybe you have not shown God that you really do want it. Maybe you're not willing because, see, sometimes we do things to get things, and then once we get it, we really don't know how to keep it. Soul work is work. Teaching a Bible study is work. Fasting is work. Encouraging someone in the late hours is work. Testifying, being vulnerable, it's all work, but it's the work of the kingdom, and that's what we're a part of. So I don't want you to be, I don't want to dispel any thoughts you have, but you need to understand that this is work, but it's worthy work. It's worth every bit of your time, your effort, your money, your frustrations, because sometimes people, it's like you have an expectation. And it's not going to be easy, but I'm saying this to you, it's worth it. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. That says to me that I may water or plant something in someone's heart, but God is the one that can bring along someone else that can water the seed that I planted. The Bible says that the word of God is like a seed. And we know that. And when that seed gets planted in their heart, God, in his infinite wisdom, will bring someone around at the right time and perhaps give an understanding of the very word that you received. There was a man that came to church on Sunday, and God was speaking to me about that man. But it was so interesting. I very rarely see people that aren't ready to hear. But the Lord said he was like a drive-through. And what I mean by this is that he was going many places, getting words and getting spiritual instruction and hearing a word and hearing the preaching. But he was driving through these things, his experiences. They were nothing more than experiences to him that he could not receive what he really needed. It was the hardest thing for me to tell him, You don't follow any man. He said, that's right. I don't follow no man. I only follow God. I said, but God uses men. See, you have to understand that it's like he was moving so quickly. He was moving so fast, he couldn't receive. And the Lord just said, that's it. And I said, I'm sorry, but I have to walk away. Because you have to understand, when you plant something on someone's heart, God will show you if they're going to receive. And he shows you when to plant, and he shows you when to draw back. There's a scripture in Ecclesiastes. It says it in this way. And I didn't understand it until just now. He said, there is a time to plant, but then there's a time to pluck up that which was planted. I was planting the word of God in his heart, but he wasn't ready for it. His soil wasn't good. And it's just like if you planted good seed in bad soil, you're going to have difficult results. You're not going to have a fruitful plant. You're not going to have a healthy plant because it was planted in the wrong soil. I pray to God that he comes back to our services at some point and that his heart is ready to receive. And he's settled down and he's quiet and he can receive what God has for him. Amen. I have planted. So it's my responsibility. I know where I've planted. So I need to also know where I need to water. So then neither is he that planted anything. And this is the balance of saying that I've done this. The balance of it is that I'm only what God allows me to become or allows me to be. He says that. So in verse 7, it says, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God giveth the increase. God is the one we're supposed to worship. God is the one that we're supposed to give thanks to. God is the one that does the work. He just allows us to be part of it. For we are laborers together with God. Now see, it says we are laborers together. If you ever felt like, well, God is going to save the world. No. We are laborers together with him. God's going to save my family. You might have prayed that way, but there are some things that you need to understand. There are some things that you need to understand that you play a part in that. You can destroy the very harvest that God was trying to give you. How do you do that, Brother Murray? You give a word out of time. You don't allow God to transform you before you try to start planting seed in someone else's heart. You go to people that God is not sending you to. You see, you have to understand, or I have to understand, that when I get born again, I no longer belong to myself. Therefore, he tells me where to go. He tells me where to plant. He tells me where to water. But many of us said, well, he's lost or she's lost, but you don't know if they're ready. That's why it's good to have a prayer life, because a prayer life will prepare you for any situation that you go to enter into. Because prayer allows you to be sensitive to the moving of God's spirit. Otherwise, if you're trying to move in the spirit and you haven't been praying, you're moving in your own will and in your own mind and in your own thoughts, more so than being led by God's spirit. And the last time I read the Bible, he says, he was giving us the spirit to guide us into all truth. And that if we are saying that we're his disciples, disciples usually follow. Don't work where God's not working. Because it's like going into a barren field. You won't see any good results because, oh Lord, I'm trying to get people saved. No, no, you're not the Savior. He is. When he looks sick, if you understood how important it is for your life to be submitted and surrendered to him, you would understand that as you walk with him, it's he's the one that gives the increase, not you or I. It's God that gives the increase. It's God that causes the growth. It's God in his timing. He knows all about that. That's why the Bible, he called on Moho Shakala Messiah. Thank you, Father, for bringing that back to my remembrance. That's why the Bible says that God is the husbandman. He's the one that looks over the whole field and decides what's going to be planted over here, where the rows are going to be lined up, what's going to grow over here, where the best, you know, plants that can grow in a lot of sun, plants that need to be in the shady area. He knows all these things about his vineyard. And it's so hard for us to understand that it's his vineyard. They are his people. They are the sheep of his pasture. It all belongs to God. The Bible says the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Everything belongs to God. So if we don't understand, all we're doing is, it says we're laborers together. And I the Lord just brought something back to my remembrance. I was talking to my wife about this earlier. There's a young man that got hired to work along with me, and he doesn't know how to work with anyone. I don't know what it is in this generation. Some of the people I deal with, they are so independent, they don't know what it is to receive instruction. And then, you know how your mind, you start going like, oh, they don't know how to receive instruction. I believe I can't talk to them. I believe they don't listen. And the Lord said, you, well, such were some of you. Who? Lord, you didn't have to do it like that. You didn't have to allow me to get frustrated at somebody. You didn't have to allow me to start talking about somebody. You didn't have to allow me to go there because I started judging and finding fault with them. And then you said, and such were some of you. I read that scripture before, but it would be, you know, it's like right now. Oh, okay. I was just like him. God, I was hard to work with. Oh, Lord, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love for me. Because that's what it took. And he allowed you to feel what he felt dealing with you. That's how God gets you back. You know how your parents, like, I remember one time, one of my kids was saying something really smart, and they got up and they, bam, hit the wall. I was cracking up inside. I know they got hurt. I was like, ugh. And I was like, kind of giggling inside. Like, oh my God, they got up. They were getting smart. They were doing something they shouldn't have been doing. They got up and hit that wall. I said, ugh. But then it was so funny. That's the same thing the Lord does with us. He allows you to confront who you are in someone else. He allows you to come up against something. You'll get so frustrated and mad and start spewing out of your mouth all these things. And he says, and such were some of you. And then you kind of back up and say, oh, God, now I understand the mercy that you've given me. Now I understand what you've given me. You've given me grace, and I needed it. So now I got to have, oh, okay, okay. I've got to have grace for them now. But I still need it from you. That's not me. It's from you, Lord. You give me grace, and I have to give me more grace for this person. You could ask for that, church. You could ask for more grace in order to deal with difficult situations and difficult circumstances, because God will not take you out of it until he's finished working you in it. God will not take you out of it until he's finished working it out of you. There are things that God is doing, and you have to understand that God is so good that he is never going to stop. And sometimes we get weary because we're in our flesh. But if we begin to join hands with each other and begin to pray over their difficulties and their situations, the Bible says, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves. Many of us don't know what it's like to really say, Lord, this is too much. But I got to humble myself, or I need to call my prayer partner. I need to call somebody. And I'm not saying calling to complain, but you're calling so that, and hopefully the person that you're calling is spiritual. You don't want to just call somebody for them to hear your side of the story. You want to call someone that will pray for you, that will pray with you, that will, if God reveals something to them, that they will come back to you and say, hey, it's not like you see it right now. It's not just like you're seeing it. Perhaps God's trying to change your perspective on your walk with him or how you treat other people. And when we can humble ourselves that way and say, God, it's not them in need of prayer, but it's me as well. Pray for our relationships, because our relationships are eternal. What do you mean by that, Brother Murray? What do you mean our relationships are eternal? God is using other people in our lives to reflect us. And it also to reflect how much we believe his word. Think about it. If you believe in forgiveness, God will allow you circumstances and situations in your life to practice his word. He was the word robed in flesh. He manifested what we ought to do in every situation. So when it came time for people to revile against him, he says, they revile against me, but I revile not against them. They spoke evil of me. They accused me. They did all these things. And then God sits back and says, you know my word, child. You know what my heart is through my word. Will you practice it in your relationships? Will you practice it? Because you're going to keep practicing it until you get it done. That's the work of the kingdom, is that when my heart is transformed, I begin to reflect the God in whom I believe. See, it's not so much what we say, but it's how we do. If you know, he says love, not just in word, but in deed and in truth. In our actions and in what we say. He's looking for himself. I have some sons that they're athletic, and they don't know this, but a lot of times I would take credit for how good they were. Because there's something about seeing your own reflection that gives you some kind of, I call it Holy Ghost pride, but it's some kind of pride where you say, you know what? I look at my children and I see what they become, and I'm grateful that God gave me an opportunity to be a part of their lives and to instill things in them that he has put in my heart to instill in them. And it's not me, because I planted only because he watered me. I showed them love because he loved me. I gave them what I could give them because he gave it to me. And when I couldn't, when what they needed went beyond my borders or went beyond me, he put it in my heart to pray that there would be other people that would come into their lives and begin to pour into them and minister to them the things that they needed when I fell short. God did that. So there's nowhere that we come up short with God, because whatever we need extra, he's right there. That's why the Bible says we're complete in him. We are complete in him. You're not broken. I'm sorry, I'm going off a tangent right now. There are so many songs, not in our church necessarily, but I hear on the radio, and they make these declarations that are not really true about who we are. If I'm broken, it's only for a little while. If I'm poor, it's only for a little while. If I'm struggling, it's only for a little while. Because the Bible says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. You realize that joy is going to come. There's going to be a change because you're attached to a God that says, I will not leave them comfortless. I will not leave them alone. I will not leave them orphans. I will. He says, I will. And if God be for us, who can be against us? God is so good. I can keep going, but I'm going to stop here. I feel like I need to. But I want to pray that God, bless our families. Bless our children. Bless each and every one of them. Bless every single man and every single woman on this call tonight. Bless those who are in their parameters. What I mean by that, Lord, is that their lives are touching someone. Someone's watching them. Someone's observing their lives. Someone's listening to their words. Someone's doing something around them, and they see them. Help us to be lights, not hid under a bushel, but lights that can shine and give you the glory. And when we do something that dims our light, help us to be man enough and woman enough and humble enough to say, you know what? What I said wasn't right. What I did wasn't right. And I ask for your forgiveness. And I pray that we would have the grace to forgive each other as Christ, first of all, has forgiven us. Sometimes our reactions are nothing more than what the old man used to be like. The old wounds get brought up because God wants to heal. He wants you to stop running. He wants to heal. He wants you to stop hiding. He wants you to heal. He wants you to stop looking at yourself. He wants you to heal. He says he will beautify the meek with salvation. God knows how to make something beautiful. He knows how to make us beautiful. But it's not what we see. It's what he sees and what he says about us. Be blessed. Be encouraged. Be strengthened in your inner man as Jesus has given you his grace and his mercy and his truth. God bless you, family. I love you. See you next time.